Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Weekend Sports in the ATL.
With Chris Goforth.
A weekend warrior.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday afternoon as we kick off this 3 o'clock hour. We're with you until, 5 o'clock today. So we've got two more hours left. We're going to work our way through the National Football League. We'll start with our five Falcons questions in just a second. I heard from Cy on Twitter. By the way, you can hit us up at 929 The Game. You can find me at Chris Goforth 1. First time I've heard from Cy in a while, by the way. He said, I love the idea. This was from some of the audio we just played a moment ago from John Smoltz. And one of the ideas that Smoltz has is you tie the pitcher to your starting pitcher. So in other words, when you take your starting pitcher out, your DH has to come out of the game as well. Basically it was John Smoltz. If you missed it, it's really just Smoltz saying the whole idea of pitch count is BS. And I think the numbers, especially pitching injuries in baseball, back up everything that John Smoltz said. So if you missed that, it's good stuff. You can find it. It's the Bloomberg Business Sports Podcast is where you can find Smoltz in that interview. Cy says, though, he says, I love the idea of tying the pitcher to the DH. It'll work just like the old National League rule. When you brought in a reliever, someone had to pinch hit for him, or if you needed that different bat in the lineup, you had to go to your bullpen to do it. I think it'll work. I don't necessarily hate it. I just go back to the whole reason behind bringing the DH, the universal DH, was in order to be able to create offense. And now, and there are guys that their role is that of a DH. I still think to this day that if we would have had the universal DH, you know, Chipper probably could have played another year or two, because it was the wheels on Chipper that were breaking down and you know, playing out in the field necessarily. He wasn't going to steal very many bases late in his career, certainly, but the guy could still swing a bat a little bit. If you could have allowed him to just be the hitter and be the DH, he might have stuck around for another year or two. It just feels like you're kind of moving backwards a little bit to me. I don't hate the idea, but it's not one that really fires me up. I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is for this, because I don't know if you can deprogram baseball now. Because I think everybody, you know, Smoltz called it brainwashing, but I think everybody in baseball has been, you know, whoever came up with the magical number of 100, 100 pitches, and that has been, that has got everybody in baseball programmed that, you know, man, you can't get to 100 pitches, or after you get to 100 pitches, that guy's got to come out. And I don't get that. Didn't work, you know, Nolan Ryan didn't have a problem with it. And look how long, I mean, Nolan Ryan was still pitching effectively in his 40s, for crying out loud. All right, we'll talk some more baseball coming up a little later. We are keeping an eye on that Phillies and Marlins game that is going on, and we'll do our best to try to stay on top of that. Let you know what's going on. Braves did lose today, if you missed it, in that Sunday brunch game that was broadcast on Roku. The Marlins, by the way, middle of the fifth, Miami has struck for a couple of more, and it is now three more, in fact, and it is a 6-2 lead, the Marlins over the Phillies. Again, they're in the middle of the fifth. We'll do our best to stay on top of that here. It is time for our five Falcons questions. Let's turn it over to our man, Dom, as we'll spend the next 50 or so minutes talking NFL football. Dom, what you got?
All righty. So, first up here, got some questions about the Falcons. Couple good groups on this team. However, my question to you, sir, what is the best position group on the Falcons in 2024?
So I feel like it's either got to be the wide receivers or the running backs, because that's the two groups that I feel the best about on this team. There's some depth at linebacker if everybody were to stay healthy, but I'm going to go wide receivers. Falcons had to find some proven guys to put around Drake London, some guys to be able to help Kirk Cousins. They did that this offseason. So I tell you, I like this wide receiver room right now that the Falcons have.
I like the wide receiver room. I think I would go with running backs. I think the pairing of Bijan and Tyler is, you have two guys who can be legit 1,000-yard rushers. You drafted Jace McClellan, and I'm not sure, you know, how that works out, but I liked him coming out of Bama. So I like that running back room.
You can make the argument you've got two number ones at running back.
Absolutely.
Legit. I mean, Tyler Algier has proven himself that he could be a number one guy, and I think with Bijan, we've seen flashes. I still don't think we've seen all that guy can be, but I think we've seen enough to understand that, yeah, he can. He's going to be a dude, if you will.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that we need to see, what do you want to see from Zach Robinson early in the season to feel good about him as a play caller?
There's two things now when it comes to Zach Robinson. First thing is, use the weapons you've got, the full complement. Let's don't go into a game and not have all the bullets ready to fire. Don't be too reliant on Algier or Bijan. You know, don't be too reliant on Kirk Cousins either. Use everything. Use those new wide receivers. Let's get Kyle Pitts involved. Let's get Drake London involved. Falcons have got a tough part of the schedule to open up the season. When you go Philly and KC in back-to-back week in game two and game three of the season, I think that's rough. And you're going to roll into three straight games against the NFC South after that. Important games early in this season if you want to be a playoff team. I don't think the Falcons can afford a slow start to this season. Offensively, you got to use what you have. Don't be so reliant on just one facet of this offense. And the second thing, let Kirk Cousins be Kirk Cousins. I don't think he was brought here to put the handcuffs on him. So I don't think this is going to be an issue. Last year as a Viking, and I mentioned those two games, Eagles and Chiefs, right? Last year against the Chiefs early in the season, Cousins throws 284 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Against the Eagles, he throws 365 yards and four touchdowns. Now, he did lose a fumble in that game, but again, 365, four touchdowns? Maybe it's just a hangover effect from seeing Arthur Smith's offense the last couple of years and what the, you know, what the quarterback play has looked like. But let's show some faith in Kirk Cousins and the guys that are around him and turn this thing loose, because I really feel like the Falcons have a chance. Is it going to be the best offense in the NFL? No, but it's got a chance to be on the very short list of the best offenses in the NFL, or at the very least, the best offenses in the NFC.
And speaking of Kirk Cousins, I know we're trying to be positive about Kirk Cousins coming here. However, I do have to ask, what is your biggest concern about Kirk Cousins as the Falcons' starting quarterback?
You know, I think with any quarterback in the league, it's always going to be about injury, right? Especially when you talk about a guy that's 36 years old and is coming off an injury. But again, I think if you listed your biggest concern with every quarterback in the league, you're going to start with him being healthy. The second thing, and I don't know if anybody else has brought this up. I don't know if anybody else has talked about it. I have not heard it. So if anybody has, if D-Led's written about it, my apologies. If the Falcoholic has talked about it, my apologies. I have missed that over the last couple of months. But the last three games against the NFC South, and I'm talking against Tampa, Carolina, and New Orleans. Now, Kirk Cousins has gone 2-1 as a starter in those three. But, you know, you feel good about those numbers when you talk about what he did last year against the Chiefs and the Eagles. Against Tampa last year, Minnesota had no running game. Vikings rushed for 41 yards in that game. Kirk Cousins, 33 out of 44, 344 yards passing, two touchdowns, one interception. He also lost two fumbles. Minnesota lost that game, by the way. Against Carolina in a win, Kirk Cousins was 12 out of 19 for 139 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Now, you have to go back to the 22 season to find the last time he played the Saints, 25 out of 38, 273 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Minnesota won that. It was like a three-point game, 28-25 or something like that, back in 2022. So, in his last three games against the NFC South, five touchdowns, four interceptions, two lost fumbles. Got to be a little better than that against divisional opponents. Again, the maybe the wins and losses are what matters, and he, you know, you're 2-1 against those. You know, you go 4-2 against the South this year. That's probably going to be enough to win the division, I would think. But you hope you're going to be a little better than that statistically against divisional opponents. I think he's going to have a much better run game with those two guys we just talked about in Algier and Bijan Robinson than what he had last year in Minnesota. So that should help things a little bit. But when you talk about the concerns around Kirk Cousins, health is always, I think, you know, if you go to Philly and ask him about, you know, Jalen Hurts, you go to Kansas City and ask him about Patrick Mahomes, everybody's going to say health. Beyond that, you know, those numbers against, you know, five touchdowns, four interceptions, two lost fumbles, that's six turnovers in three games against NFC South opponents. You hope that trend doesn't continue for him. Yeah. You hope that trend doesn't continue for him.
Yeah, definitely need to see some improvement there. Real quick, we got time for one more. How much do we see one Michael Penix in this upcoming season?
Man, I honestly, I hope we don't see him at all. I think if we're seeing him, that probably means Cousins is hurt, and I don't think that's in the best interest of the Falcons this year. So if Kirk Cousins is healthy, then I don't think we see him at all in the regular season. Unless Cousins were to get hurt. And again, keep in mind the Falcons still have Taylor Heinicke, and they'll have three quarterbacks dressed on game day. I would think Heinicke, especially if something happens to Cousins early in the season, you know, I think Taylor Heinicke would probably be the guy. Now, we get into week 9, 10 later in the year, maybe that changes. I do hope we see a lot of Michael Penix in the preseason. I really do. I hope he plays at least half of that last preseason game against Jacksonville here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium so we get a chance to see him in person. I hope he gets some time on the field in the preseason with that starting offense. How does it look with Michael Penix out there with Bijan and Drake and Pitts and that offensive line? That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. We'll continue our look around the NFC South. Do this every summer during the month of June. Spend a couple of segments, and we focus on those other teams in the NFC South. Scott Reynolds from PewterReport.com, a guy that knows Raheem Morris, used to cover Raheem Morris when Raheem was in Tampa. We'll get his thoughts on Raheem Morris now taking over the Falcons, and we'll talk a little bit about those Buccaneers. We'll do that. Scott Reynolds joins us next. Chris Goforth on this Sunday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
You will be shocked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is that time of the year. It's that summertime, that little lull in the NFL calendar. Most of those guys are able to take some vacations right now and get away for a little bit, but it gives us a chance to get ready for this 2024 season that'll be kicking off before we know it. We like to spend a little bit of time here on the weekends and preview what is happening around the NFC South. Today we're going to visit with Scott Reynolds. Scott is with PewterReport.com. He's covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a long time. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Scott, appreciate the time. And I know you've been around this Tampa team for a number of years now. Before we get to what's happening on the field this year, give me your thoughts on Raheem Morris, a guy that I know you were around some when he was the coach at Tampa. The idea of Raheem Morris back in this division and back in Atlanta.
Well, I'm good friends with Raheem. I remember I was probably the first reporter to interview him when he was an assistant defensive backs coach to Mike Tomlin during the early part of the John Gruden era in Tampa. I remember I went up to Monty Kiffin. I was doing a story on Mike Tomlin, who was kind of the next big thing, the defensive backs coach for the Bucs. And Monty gave me a quote about Mike. And, you know, sure enough, we know what Mike's done. Quickly ascending to the head coaching position with the Steelers, been there for 17 years. And he said, yeah, but you know what? The guy you really need to talk to is Raheem Morris, because he's the next one. And I think if you look back at Raheem's tenure in Tampa when he was the head coach here, he was too young for the job, really, but certainly was able to produce some results. But he's just learned so much football. When you look at his career path, going to Washington for years, being around guys like Shanahan and all of, you know, Sean McVay, and just the football tree that he kind of came from, and of course the exposure to Gruden and Kiffin and Tampa. I think he's ready for this job in Atlanta. I really do. I'm excited for him. And I think it was definitely the right hire, especially for the long term. Someone like Bill Belichick, maybe he comes in and it's a quicker fix. But Bill Belichick certainly has a shorter shelf life. And I just think with Raheem Morris, he's a smart guy. He can identify talent, the coaching ranks. Jimmy Lake was a defensive backs coach for two stops here in Tampa. He and Raheem are like brothers. They think alike. So I think that the Falcons got the right guy, and Raheem Morris, who's ready for this job now, much older in his years, but still a young coach who's relatable to today's NFL players coming out of college. And I think the staff he's put together is quite impressive. So in my opinion, the NFC South is going to be a two-team race for years to come. It's going to be Atlanta and Tampa. I do think the Saints are on their way down. The Panthers have a long way to go to come up. So I look forward to the Bucs and Falcons really kind of duking it out each year, starting this year, for who wins the NFC South.
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tampa ended last year winning five out of their last six. How do they build on that this year?
I think things started to really click for the Buccaneers offense down the stretch, and I think Todd Bowles' defense kind of really came on. You have to give Todd Bowles a lot of credit. When this team was 4-7, I'm looking around, well, who's going to be the next head coach of the Buccaneers in 2024? It didn't look good. The Buccaneers went on an incredible run down the stretch and ended up winning the division in the final week of the season. Baker Mayfield was banged up. They went to Carolina, played the worst team in football, and escaped with a 9-0 win. That was enough to claim the division once more. And then they had a great showing against the Philadelphia Eagles and just throttled the Eagles, a little bit of a payback game for their week three loss earlier in the season at Raymond James Stadium, 32-9. And then they ran into the Detroit Lions buzzsaw up in Detroit, and that left a bad taste in their mouth. They faced Detroit again this year in Detroit in week two. That's a game that a lot of Buccaneers have already circled on the schedule. And I just think that the continuity, they brought everybody back, and they added, they had another great draft class. And I think Jason Light has hit a home run in these last three draft classes that have really stockpiled this team with young talent. Look at Rashad White, the running back. You look at defensive tackle Kalijah Kansi, pass rusher Yaya Diaby, cornerback Zion McCollum, who steps in as a starter replacing Carlton Davis this year. They've just done a really good job of reloading, and it would have been easy to maybe press the blow up button and rebuild after Tom Brady left, but they didn't do that. Baker Mayfield, they took a chance on him and they hit the lottery. This guy is the heartbeat of the Buccaneers in terms of his leadership style. He has ingratiated himself, not just with the offense, but he is the leader of the entire team. When Baker Mayfield takes the field at training camp, at OTAs, at minicamp, when he does his calisthenics, he buries himself on the other side of the line. He goes over and hangs out with the defensive linemen and does the calisthenics with them. So he is the leader and the heartbeat of this team. His style of play fits what Dave Canales did last year, and is even a better fit in what Liam Cohen brings from the Rams. And it's interesting, the Falcons and the Rams and the Buccaneers all are going to be running kind of the same offense, because you've got Zach Robinson coming from the Rams. You've got Liam Cohen coming from the Rams. So it's going to be kind of a Rams-style attack on offense for both Atlanta and Tampa. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But Baker Mayfield, actually, remember, was with the Rams for the last five games of the 2022 season. And that was beneficial because he got to work with Liam Cohen. And this is not a vast departure from the offense that they ran last year, because Shane Waldron went from the Rams to the Seahawks, and that's where Dave Canales learned the Shane Waldron type offense and brought it to Tampa. So the offense the Bucs ran last year, even though it was from Seattle, it had a lot of roots and core principles that came from the Rams. So I think that this offense can hit the ground running and kind of pick up where it left off and maybe go from 21 points per game to maybe 24 points per game this season.
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Evans, he is a seems like a Falcons killer, Scott. He always seems to have big games against Atlanta. The dude is 30 now. At what point do those numbers start to dip and his production decline a little bit?
Well, I'm going to correct you. He's going to be 31 this season.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a birthday coming up in August, so he will be 31. And at some point, he is going to not be a 1,000-yard guy, right? He set an NFL record. He's got 10 straight seasons to start a career with 1,000 yards in each of those seasons. No NFL player has ever done that before. He is a Hall of Famer in waiting. I don't think it's going to be this year. the one long-lasting benefit of Tom Brady being in Tampa, even though he's gone now 2 years, was the TB12 method. And some of these older veterans, guys like Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Vita Vea now on the defensive side, who's now 29 years old, they watched Brady play at a very high level at the age of 44, at the age of 45, which was his final season in Tampa, still throwing for, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 yards and you know, lighting the league up with touchdowns. So they bought into this, that take care of your body, do the medical treatments, the preventative care, the stretching, the massage, all of those things, eating right, the diet, it's important. And they saw how Brady was able to milk not just years, but very productive years at the end of his career. And I think that's what Evans and Godwin and Vita Vea, who showed up to training or showed up to OTAs and minicamp, looking like he dropped about 30 pounds. I mean, he looks phenomenal, and he wants to not just play for a couple more years, but play at a Pro Bowl level for a couple more years. So I think that's why Evans is able to continue to put up as many yard touchdowns, is because he's in better shape now than he was at the start of his career when he was this young, spry wide receiver coming out of Texas A&M. And so it's really a tribute to Brady and the influence he had in kind of that TB12 method, which Evans uses today. There will be a time when he becomes an 800-yard receiver. But the thing is, at 6'5", he's always going to be a red zone weapon, former basketball player. He goes up and gets the high point balls like he's going up for a rebound or a layup or a dunk. And so he can still be effective. When he turns into Keyshawn Johnson, kind of the big possession type receiver, he can still play, I think, to like 35, 36. It may not be at the 1,000-yard level, but he still might get you a dozen touchdowns and 700 yards receiving.
Scott, I wanted to ask about Kalijah Kansi. I don't want to call it a breakout year. Heck, I thought he was really good last year when he was on the field. What's the ceiling for this guy on that defensive line for the Buccaneers?
I think he can certainly be a double-digit sacker, perhaps this year. He had 4 sacks last year during the season, and he missed the first 4 games of the year and all of training camp and all of the preseason with a calf injury. So when he finally got a chance to play, he was coming in ice cold, didn't really have the benefit of going through camp, working on his craft, going up against NFL teams and games that don't count in August, right, to kind of trial and error your way. He was thrown into the fire, and I thought he played well despite that circumstance. And then you look at the postseason, those 2 games, you know, he had a sack and a half, and I think he was he ended the season on an extremely high note. You wanted the Bucs to advance into the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl just to see how he was ascending. And so I think he is a player that can pick up where he left off. He's a little bit stronger now. He's never going to be a big guy. His frame is maxed out. He's 6'2", 286. That's just how big he is. But it's the speed, the quickness, the agility, the ability to penetrate the backfield, whether it's a tackle for loss, which he had 10 last year, whether it's getting to the quarterback with a pressure or a sack. I think that he can be a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. He will be a double-digit sacker. It's just only a matter of when. And I would not suggest that it can't happen this year. I think it can. In playing next to Vita Vea and playing next to Yaya Diaby on that defensive line, which guy do you double? Which guy is the defense, or I should say the offensive coordinator, going to say, we have to stop him? Okay, well, that's fine. You can stop him, but there's two other guys that can get to the quarterback and do a lot of damage as well. So it's kind of like pick your poison now. And I think the key question for the Buccaneers is who's going to be the fourth guy on the offensive line, or defensive line, I should say, to replace Shaq Barrett? Is it going to be Chris Braswell, the second-round pick from Alabama? Is it going to be Joe Tryon-Shoyinka in a contract year, highly motivated, former first-round pick? Is it going to be Marquise Watts, who is kind of a pass-rushing phenom, undrafted free agent last year, who's made some big strides? That's going to be the key training camp question, is who's going to be the fourth guy on that defensive line next to Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi and opposite Yaya Diaby?
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. That's the site. They've been covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a long time, so it's a good resource if you want to read up on what's happening with the Buccaneers. Again, PewterReport.com. Scott Reynolds hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Scott, as we finish up here, biggest question mark going into training camp for the Bucs is what?
I think the offensive line, right? Graham Barton's going to be the starting center. He's the first-round pick. And it's just how quickly can he acclimate to the NFL? He's a very smart guy coming from Duke, obviously. He started five games as a true freshman center in the COVID year 2020 and actually put some really good tape out there, and then went to left tackle for the next 3 years and dominated. So he's got the athleticism, the size, the football IQ. It's just how quickly does it click? In other words, can he play at a starting guard or starting center level sooner rather than later, where you don't have those growing pains? And then the left guard position, that was the weakness for the Buccaneers last year. They got rid of Matt Filer and Aaron Stinney, and who kind of platooned at that spot. They brought in Sua Opeta and Ben Bredesen. Bredesen's from the Giants. Opeta is from the Eagles. Both those guys are good run blockers. Tampa Bay's running game was one of the worst in the league over the last couple of years. It's got to improve. Liam Cohen has put a lot of emphasis on that. So I think the passing attack is there. The 4,000-yard season from Baker Mayfield, the 28 touchdowns, that's evidence of that. How much more dangerous can this Buccaneer team be? Can they get the ground game going? Rashad White had 990 yards last year. They want to see him get 1,200 to 1,300 yards on the ground. They think he's that capable of a back. They added Bucky Irving as a 1-2 punch, the Oregon running back. So they really want to emphasize the running game and get that going. They feel like if they can have a top 10, top 12 passing attack with a running game that doesn't have to be top 10, but if it can just be middle of the road, just middle of the pack, they feel that this offense can score a lot more points, control the ball, keep Todd Bowles' defense fresher for later in the game when it matters the most. So the running game is the biggest question in Tampa Bay, and it all starts up front with the offensive line. Who's going to man that left guard spot? They're solid at left tackle with a Pro Bowler in Tristan Wirfs. The right tackle spot has been solidified with Luke Getteke. There's a lot of promise in second-year right guard. Cody Malky's got bigger and stronger this offseason. But the center position, how quickly can Graham Barton acclimate to this offense and to the NFL in terms of those big defensive tackles he'll face? And then who plays left guard, and is it truly an upgrade over what the Bucs had last year?
Scott Reynolds, PewterReport.com. Scott, appreciate the time. Again, want to encourage folks, check out your work over at PewterReport.com, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Greatly appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay with us. We'll come back. We'll get a look at our NFL notebook. We'll go around the league. We'll do it next.
To more Chris Gofor.
What are you doing this weekend?
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Gofor hanging out on this Sunday. Dom behind the glass. Keep you company here for a little while longer. We'll talk a little college football coming up to kick off the 4 o'clock hour. Our buddy Bill Bender from the Sporting News will join us, and we'll talk a little bit of college football with Bill. We'll talk some more Hawks before we get out of here today, and of course we got some couple of wild and wacky stories from this past week. Couple of things we'll get to wrap up today. Braves lost earlier to the Pirates today, but Pirates hit a couple of homers in the fifth to go ahead, and Braves tried to rally late, couldn't get there. Pittsburgh with the win. The Phillies, though, are losing right now as well. They are trailing Miami, bottom of the sixth, and it's a 6-3 Miami lead over Philly. So we'll keep you updated on that one. If the Phillies lose, then the Braves are back to, what is it, just back to seven games then in the National League East. So we'll get to that. It's time for NFL Notebook. We'll take a little trip around the National Football League. I appreciate Scott Reynolds from PewterReport.com for coming on and giving us a few minutes to talk about the Buccaneers today. We talked a little bit about that defense, and I think they've got something in Tampa with Vita Vea. Two young guys in Kalijah Kansi and Yaya Diaby. I want you to hear this. This is Brian Baldinger this week on the NFL Network talking about those guys, but in particular, Kalijah Kansi. Here's Brian Baldinger.
I spent a lot of time with Kalijah down here in South Florida. He's a worker. I felt bad when he pulled that calf in preseason. It really knocked him out. But what you saw and exactly what you said, is that these guys improved as the season went on. Sometimes you almost have to redshirt these young defensive linemen and wait to the second year. I think they're both going to take a big year of growth. I know I'm going to see Kalijah this weekend at the SAC Summit that Von Miller and Max Crosby are putting on. But if I'm out on the beach, Kalijah's working. The guy's out there every day in Florida heat, humidity. He's out there working on his game. You know, he went to Pitt, and, you know, he learned from Aaron Donald when he was back there training. And so it never really ends. I mean, here we are in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, there's no people are in the water, Sarah. They're not out here pass rushing. He's giving me a clinic right here on what to do with the hands. He's working on his moves. He's walking through. He's digging in the sand. He's working on his conditioning. This guy never stops working. And I'm excited to see him in Vegas this weekend at the SAC Summit. But I think both these players, as you mentioned, are really going to take a big step forward for this defense. And I think, you know, with Vita Vea and some of the other guys there, this should be a good challenge in the NFC South, dealing with these two young, progressing defensive linemen right now.
Yeah, look, they're going to have a chance to be able to wreak havoc on some quarterbacks if they can both stay healthy. Kansi last year overcame an injury early on, finished really strong, and then Diaby was a guy that – a third-round pick last year that recorded 7.5 sacks. So I'm kind of a Baldinger on both of those guys. And you heard Scott Reynolds talk about them as well. They got a chance to – excuse me. They've got a chance, I think, to be really, really good now for a long time. Tampa's going to be formidable. You know, you heard Scott say it a minute ago. He thinks that division, the South, is going to set itself up. Race with Atlanta and Tampa at the top of the standings battling it out every year. I don't know necessarily about long-term. I feel a lot better about where the Falcons are long-term maybe than I do Tampa, but certainly Tampa's got some pieces defensively, some young guys that we saw progress through the year from them last year. If they can continue on that path, they're going to be tough. Let's get some quarterback talk. This week on NFL Live on ESPN, Jeremy Fowler said that teams around the league are worried about the potential of Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders. Daniels' teammates in Washington, Austin Eckler, had a bunch of praise for him when he was on the Rich Eisen show this week. Here's Austin Eckler on with Rich Eisen.
He's going through it, like going through the plays, right? Making some of the rookie mistakes you'd expect. But it's kind of part of the process of becoming a pro, no matter what position you play. But what you really want to see from your quarterback is what I've seen from my veteran quarterbacks that have done well. You know, you're there extremely early. You're committed. You're talking to the guys about routes. You're talking to them about protections. You're talking to, you're a part of the leadership of the group, but that means having conversations. I remember I ran a route, and right after the route we were done, and he called me over. Hey, Eck, like, tell me about, like, why'd you sit? How come you didn't break in on that? And it's like, those, it seems really small, but those things add up to him becoming a complete player, understanding, you know, the philosophies of his players, why they're doing what they're doing, and he can tell them, hey, well, I think you should be here. And so it's baby steps, But those baby steps add up to you becoming a great player. And then as far as him out there making throws, I mean, he's made some spectacular throws already. And so that's what we expected to see from him, you know, what we saw from college. And then obviously he's very mobile too, which, as we know in this league, is where most of the big plays come from, is out on the run. You know, how can you create when things aren't going right? And those are the teams that are, you know, you see, those are the quarterbacks that you see take their teams into those playoff runs.
Eckler was making the rounds this week. He was also on the NFL Network. He called Jaden Daniels an absolute stud. But it's that time of the year. I mean, everybody loves their rookie quarterbacks in June. Now, that changes in a little bit when camps start. It changes a little more when we get into the preseason. And then it changes a lot when we get into the regular season and the bullets start flying at you a little faster. And you've got guys like Kalijah Kancey and Yaya from Tampa trying to come in and basically rip your head off. But everybody loves their rookie quarterbacks in June. Chicago is included in that. Caleb Williams, the quarterback there, rookie out of USC. Tight end Cole Kmet, he was on Sirius XM last week. He had this to say about Caleb Williams. Here's tight end Cole Kmet.
No, that whole draft process was so interesting just because you're hearing all these different things about him. But as I got to know him and as everyone else got to know him, you realize he's really just a normal dude, a really good kid and ultra competitive. And you can see why he's been so successful thus far in his football career and why he has those type of intangibles to succeed in the NFL. So I'm really excited for him. He's been putting in a lot of work, and you can see the progress that he was making throughout the OTA period. So I'm really excited about him, obviously ultra-talented, and I think as the people of Chicago get to know him more and more, the more they'll get to like him.
How many of these rookies end up starting week one? I mean, I think that's the real question. J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota, probably not. They got a couple of vets there that will allow him to sit, you know, at least for a couple of weeks. Caleb Williams in Chicago, he's one of those guys that's going to have to be the guy right away. Sink or swim, he's going to start in week one. I'm really kind of surprised that the Bears didn't make a move to go land a more proven veteran, even if they just wanted the veteran to come in as a backup. I know Brett Rippon is there, but, you know, Tyler Badgett's there. But it just seems like that's a situation where maybe you'd benefit from having a guy that has been around the league, that's been a starter for a while in the league, that could help out your young quarterback. Sounds like Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy in Washington. It can't be Marcus Mariota. It just can't be. Broncos have Bo Nix. I know they've talked about how good he looks. I still think that's Jarrett Stidham, at least to start the year. Heck, maybe even Zach Wilson, who's there as well. One of the more maybe interesting quarterback battles is in New England. Jacoby Brissett is there. I find it hard to believe that anybody in New England looks at him as much more than a placeholder, although I feel like I've said that about Jacoby Brissett before, and the guy comes in and he's able to produce and put up. But you got to think that he's just holding it down until one of the two guys they drafted. Remember, they drafted two quarterbacks this year. One of those guys they drafted is ready to come in. Drake May, probably the most obvious selection there. The third overall pick in the draft. I don't think that you take him third to sit behind Jacoby Brissett. You know, it's not a situation of Michael Penix going eight, coming in to sit behind a guy like Kirk Cousins for a little while. A little different situation there. I don't think you do that with Drake May for him to sit the entire year behind Jacoby Brissett. Joe Milton out of Tennessee is also there. So we'll see. But that's kind of the rookie quarterbacks that, you know, may get a chance to play, if not early, at least get a chance to get on the field at some point in time this year. Now, the Jags, they have no quarterback issue in Jacksonville. They locked up Trevor Lawrence again with a nice extension a few weeks ago. This is Jags owner Shad Khan talking to the Associated Press last week.
Expectations should be up too, that, you know, for us, you know, winning now is expectation. So I think, you know, obviously I've talked to Trevor a lot over the last few years, and, you know, from really, that was COVID year, even before the draft. So I'm really You know, I think he represents the city, he represents the Jaguars. I couldn't ask for anyone better. And you know, obviously I was hoping that would get done before this, but and I'm glad it did get done.
If you remember last year, Jacksonville looked like one of the best teams in football, and then they kind of faded down the stretch. They had a lot of injuries. Now, what you didn't hear Shad Khan say is that he said injuries are a part of the game. He called what happened last year in Jacksonville, and this is a quote, an organizational failure. He said, we can't have that this year. He said, winning is now the expectation. Look, I don't see Doug Peterson on any of these coaching hot seat lists, but you go 9-8 again this year, it's probably going to land him there. I mean, you just heard Shad Khan say we've got expectations now. A couple other things, Dom. I don't know if you saw this or not. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be featured in a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie.
I did not see this. Okay.
Yeah, it's called Holiday Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story. You want to hear the plot, Dom?
Does it involve Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
No.
No, okay.
No. Alana Higman wants to enter her family into a contest that crowns the biggest fan of the year. Derek, he serves as the Chiefs' director of fan engagement and is saddled with judging all three families to see which one is the biggest group of Chiefs fans. Once the two get a chance to spend time together, a connection forms between Alana and Derek. She will have to decide how much she believes in fate after meeting Derek while he judges the contest. What this little article, I think this came from Yahoo.com, what it doesn't tell you is that at some point there will be some sort of misunderstanding, there's going to be some conflict, and you're going to think for a moment that the two will not get together. And then something happens that pulls them back together where they figure out that it's all just been a great misunderstanding, and the movie will end happily. I know this because my wife watches every Hallmark Christmas movie. If I went and checked the DVR right now, I guarantee you there's some Hallmark Christmas movies on the DVR. They all follow the same plot.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
All kind of cookie cutter.
You know, I was shocked to learn that Lacey Chabert was not in this one because she's the chick that's in like every Hallmark movie. She's not in this one. They did not confirm which.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
What are you doing this weekend?
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Sunday. Dom behind the glass. Keep you company here for a little while longer. Talk a little college football coming up to kick off the 4 o'clock hour. Our buddy Bill Bender from the Sporting News will join us, and we'll talk a little bit of college football with Bill. We'll talk some more Hawks before we get out of here today, and of course we got some couple of wild and wacky stories from this past week. Couple of things we'll get to wrap up today. Braves lost earlier to the Pirates today, but. Pirates hit a couple of homers in the fifth to go ahead, and Braves tried to rally late, couldn't get there. Pittsburgh with the win. The Phillies, though, are losing right now as well. They are trailing Miami, bottom of the sixth, and it's a 6-3 Miami lead over Philly. So we'll keep you updated on that one. If the Phillies lose, then the Braves are back to, what is it, just back to seven games then in the National League East. So we'll get to that. It's time for NFL Notebook. We'll take a little trip around the National Football League. I appreciate Scott Reynolds from PewterReport.com for coming on and giving us a few minutes to talk about the Buccaneers today. We talked a little bit about that defense, and I think they've got something in Tampa with Vita Vea. Two young guys in Kalijah Kancey and Yaya Diaby. I want you to hear this. This is Brian Baldinger this week on the NFL Network talking about those guys, but in particular, Kalijah Kancey. Here's Brian Baldinger.
I've spent a lot of time with Kalijah down here in South Florida. He's a worker. And that guy, I mean, I felt bad when he pulled that calf in preseason. It really knocked him out. But what you saw, and exactly what you said, is Sarah, is that these guys improved as the season went on. Sometimes you almost have to redshirt these young defensive linemen and wait to the second year. I think they're both going to take a big year of growth. I know I'm going to see Kalijah this weekend at the sack summit that Von Miller and Max Crosby are putting on. But if I'm out on the beach, Kalijah's working. The guy's out there every day in Florida heat, humidity. He's out there working on his game. You know, he went to Pitt, and, you know, he learned from Aaron Donald when he was back there training. And so it never really ends. I mean, here we are in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, there's no people are in the water, Sarah. They're not out here pass rushing. He's giving me a clinic right here on what to do with the hands. He's working on his moves. He's walking through. He's digging in the sand. He's working on his conditioning. This guy never stops working. And I'm excited to see him in Vegas this weekend at the SAC Summit. But I think both these players, as you mentioned, are really going to take a big step forward for this defense. And I think, you know, with Vita Vea and some of the other guys there, this should be a good challenge in the NFC South, dealing with these two young, progressing defensive linemen right now.
Yeah, look, they're going to have a chance to be able to wreak havoc on some quarterbacks if they can both stay healthy. Kancey last year overcame an injury early on, finished really strong, and then Diaby was a guy that was a third-round pick last year that recorded 7.5 sacks. So I'm kind of a Baldinger on both of those guys, and you heard Scott Reynolds talk about them as well. They got a chance to they've got a chance, I think, to be really, really good now for a long time. Tampa's going to be formidable. You know, you heard Scott say it a minute ago. He thinks that division, the South, is going to set itself up race with Atlanta and Tampa at the top of the standings, battling it out every year. I don't know necessarily about long term. I feel a lot better about where the Falcons are long term, maybe, than I do Tampa. But certainly Tampa's got some pieces defensively, some young guys that we saw progress through the year from them last year. If they can continue on that path, they're going to be tough. Let's get some quarterback talk. This week on NFL Live on ESPN, Jeremy Fowler said that teams around the league are worried about the potential of Jaden Daniels with the Washington Commanders. Daniels' teammates in Washington, Austin Eckler, had a bunch of praise for him when he was on the Rich Eisen show this week. Here's Austin Eckler on with Rich Eisen.
He's going through it, like going through in the plays, right? Making some of the rookie mistakes you'd expect. But it's kind of part of the process of becoming a pro, no matter what position you play. But what you really want to see from your quarterback is what I've seen from my veteran quarterbacks that have done well. You know, you're there extremely early. You're committed. You're talking to the guys about routes. You're talking to them about protections. You're talking to, you're a part of the leadership of the group, but that means having conversations. I remember I ran a route, and right after the route, we were done, and he called me over. Hey, Eck, like, tell me about, like, why'd you sit? How come you didn't break in on that? And it's like, those, it seems really small, but those things add up to him becoming a complete player, understanding, you know, the philosophies of his players, why they're doing what they're doing, and he can tell them, hey, well, I think you should be here. And so it's baby steps, but those baby steps add up to you becoming a great player. And then as far as him out there making throws, I mean, he's made some spectacular throws already. And so that's what we expected to see from him, you know, what we saw from college. And then obviously he's very mobile too, which, as we know in this league, is where most of the big plays come from, is out on the run. You know, how can you create when things aren't going right? And those are the teams that are, you know, you see, those are the quarterbacks that you see take their teams into those playoff runs.
Eckler was making the rounds this week. He was also on the NFL Network. He called Jaden Daniels an absolute stud. But it's that time of the year. I mean, everybody loves their rookie quarterbacks in June. Now, that changes in a little bit when camps start. It changes a little more when we get into the preseason. And then it changes a lot when we get into the regular season and the bullets start flying at you a little faster. And you've got guys like Kalijah Kancey and Yaya from Tampa trying to come in and basically rip your head off. But everybody loves their rookie quarterbacks in June. Chicago is included in that. Caleb Williams, the quarterback there, rookie out of USC. Tight end Cole Kmet, he was on Sirius XM last week. He had this to say about Caleb Williams. Here's tight end Cole Kmet.
No, that whole draft process was so interesting just because you're hearing all these different things about him. But as I got to know him and as everyone else got to know him, you realize he's really just a normal dude, a really good kid and ultra competitive. And you can see why he's been so successful thus far in his football career and why he has those type of intangibles to succeed in the NFL. So I'm really excited for him. He's been putting in a lot of work, and you can see the progress that he was making throughout the OTA period. So I'm really excited about him, obviously ultra-talented, and I think as the people of Chicago get to know him more and more, the more they'll get to like him.
How many of these rookies end up starting week one? I mean, I think that's the real question. J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota, probably not. They got a couple of vets there that will allow him to sit, you know, at least for a couple of weeks. Caleb Williams in Chicago, he's one of those guys that's going to have to be the guy right away. Sink or swim, he's going to start in week one. I'm really kind of surprised that the Bears didn't make a move to go land a more proven veteran, even if they just wanted the veteran to come in as a backup. I know Brett Rippon is there, but, you know, Tyler Badgett's there. But it just seems like that's a situation where maybe you'd benefit from having a guy that has been around the league, that's been a starter for a while in the league, that could help out your young quarterback. Sounds like Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy in Washington. It can't be Marcus Mariota. It just can't be. Broncos have Bo Nix. I know they've talked about how good he looks. I still think that's Jarrett Stidham, at least to start the year. Heck, maybe even Zach Wilson, who's there as well. One of the more maybe interesting quarterback battles is in New England. Jacoby Brissett is there. I find it hard to believe that anybody in New England looks at him as much more than a placeholder, although I feel like I've said that about Jacoby Brissett before, and the guy comes in and he's able to produce and put up. But you got to think that he's just holding it down until one of the two guys they drafted – remember, they drafted two quarterbacks this year – one of those guys they drafted is ready to come in. Drake May, probably the most obvious selection there, the third overall pick in the draft. I don't think that you take him third to sit behind Jacoby Brissett. You know, it's not a situation of Michael Penix going eight, coming in to sit behind a guy like Kirk Cousins for a little while. Little different situation there. I don't think you do that with Drake May for him to sit the entire year behind Jacoby Brissett. Joe Milton out of Tennessee is also there. So we'll see. But that's kind of the rookie quarterbacks that, you know, may get a chance to play, if not early, at least get a chance to get on the field at some point in time this year. Now, the Jags, they have no quarterback issue in Jacksonville. They locked up Trevor Lawrence again with a nice extension a few weeks ago. This is Jags owner Shad Khan talking to the Associated Press last week.
Expectations should be up too, that, you know, for us, you know, winning now is expectation. So I think, you know, obviously I've talked to Trevor a lot over the last few years, and, you know, from really, that was COVID year, even before the draft. So I'm really, you know, I think he represents the city, he represents the Jaguars. I couldn't ask for anyone better. And you know, obviously I was hoping that would get done before this, but and I'm glad it did get done.
If you remember last year, Jacksonville looked like one of the best teams in football, and then they kind of faded down the stretch. They had a lot of injuries. Now, what you didn't hear Shad Khan say is that he said injuries are a part of the game. He called what happened last year in Jacksonville, and this is a quote, an organizational failure. He said, we can't have that this year. He said, winning is now the expectation. Look, I don't see Doug Peterson on any of these coaching hot seat lists, but you go 9-8 again this year, it's probably going to land him there. I mean, you just heard Shad Khan say, we've got expectations now. A couple other things, Dom, I don't know if you saw this or not. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be featured in a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie.
I did not see this. Okay.
Yeah, it's called Holiday Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story. You want to hear the plot, Dom?
Does it involve Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
No.
No, okay.
No. Alana Higman wants to enter her family into a contest that crowns the biggest fan of the year. Derek, he serves as the Chiefs' director of fan engagement and is saddled with judging all three families to see which one is the biggest group of Chiefs fans. Once the two get a chance to spend time together, a connection forms between Alana and Derek. She will have to decide how much she believes in fate after meeting Derek while he judges the contest. What this little article, I think this came from Yahoo.com, what it doesn't tell you is that at some point there will be some sort of misunderstanding. There's going to be some conflict. And you're going to think for a moment that the two will not get together. And then something happens that pulls them back together where they figure out that it's all just been a great misunderstanding and the movie will end happily. I know this because my wife watches every Hallmark Christmas movie. If I went and checked the DVR right now, I guarantee you there's some Hallmark Christmas movies on the DVR. They all follow the same plot.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
All kind of cookie cutter.
You know every, they all, you know, I was shocked to learn that Lacey Chabert was not in this one because she's the chick that's in like every Hallmark movie. She's not in this one. They did not confirm which, if any, Chiefs players will appear in the film as themselves. So, unsure about that. But the Chiefs, not only do they have Taylor Swift in their pocket, they now have the Hallmark Channel with their own Hallmark Christmas movie. My, my. All right, well, let's talk some college football. Bill Bender, good friend. Covers college football for the Sporting News. He's going to join us next. We'll kick off our final hour together talking a little college football. Stand by. Coming back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.